Hello, my name is Keenan Nopke, and I'm president of Curlew Hills Memory Gardens, and want to take a moment to thank you for your attendance today at our fifth annual 9/11 Memorial Service. Today we remember the many thousands of family members, heroes, that passed away 15 years ago in the tragedy in New York City, Washington, D.C.
God bless our heroes. My wife and I wrote this for our heroes.
I don't care what they say, I would never leave and throw it all away. It's my home, it's my sweet home, America. Someone to leave such a disgrace, they forget the heroes buried in their place. They sacrificed, they gave their lives for America. Maybe I don't know what's wrong or right, but one thing I know, you always keep us safe at night. You are heroes through and through in everything you do. Because of you, we remain safe and free. As we count the stars above, pray God sends His love. You are heroes through and through, it's true, and we can't give up on you. On the streets, another day, they give it all, they do their best, they earn their pay. The sacrifice, they give their lives for America. Oh, America, let freedom ring and let our flags still wave. Don't forget the ones whose lives are on the line each day. You are heroes through and through in everything you do. Because of you, we remain safe and free. As we count the stars above, pray God sends all His love. You are heroes through and through, it's true, and we can't give up on you. Heroes through and through.
Good morning. My name is Keenan Nopke. I'm president of Curlew Hills. I want to welcome everybody here this morning. Before we start, a couple of announcements. First, somebody left a pair of sunglasses up here on the stage. Bobby.
Thank you.
Thank you.
There you go.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Before we start, I'm going to ask everybody to take these things out of their pockets and put them in a silent mode. You don't mind. Thank you. This morning is our 5th anniversary. Many of you have been here since day one, and thank you for coming. Thank you for bringing your family. As we look back on the tragedy 15 years ago, I know, excuse me, on a daily basis sometimes, I wonder where I was or think back and think who I was with and where we were and how that's kind of frozen in your mind. And that's what we're here to remember today, is remember where we were, but more importantly, the families that were impacted that day by the tragic loss of over 3,000 lives. And at this point, I would like to ask if there are any family members who lost loved ones that morning, first responders, police, relatives of those people that died that day, if you would stand and be recognized wherever you are, and if you're already standing, wave your hand. Thank you very much, and our special condolences and thoughts and prayers with you all today. Next, I'd like to ask if there are any New York Fire Department retired or active, or FD Fire Department members from New York, active or retired, present, to be stand, wave your hands, and be acknowledged. Thank you very much. And as y'all walk around today and see those men and women, please give them a hand. Tell them thank you for their job. It was a difficult one that day. Next, do we have any active duty or retired military present? Please stand. Thank you for your service to our country. Last but clearly not least, but often blamed, elected officials or people that are running for public office, if you would stand, wave your hand, whatever, and be acknowledged. I'm sorry, I may have mispronounced it was NYPD. Correct, Liz? Do I need to acknowledge? Thank you. NYPD members, retired or active that are present, please stand or wave your hands. And my apologies for not acknowledging it, and thank you to Liz for reminding me. Couple of more announcements. In the back, you've passed the tables and so forth, there's a big silver thing called a restroom. It's air conditioned. It's a comfortable place to be right now. It's back there. If anybody needs water, raise your hands. The Explorer Scouts and so forth, or firefighters or whoever, are walking around with water. They'll get you water. If you need a fan, there are fans in the back. There's all kinds of fans back there, for your cell phones and so forth. So be sure to take them and use them. Last but not least, there are cookies in the back. And I want to thank Julie Peluso for arranging all those cookies. And they come from the Palm Harbor Walmart, Coral Landings, Publix, and St. Mark's Village. And I've looked at them. I haven't tasted them yet, but they look really good. And at this time, I want to introduce our Master of Ceremonies for this morning. Y'all have watched him for many, many years on Fox 13. He may be today the most local person that watched the tragedy occur because he was on set. And if he wasn't on set, he was quickly on set, bringing the events of 9/11 15 years ago to your TVs, my TV. Please join me. John is a retired from primetime news anchor from WTVT Fox 13 in Tampa in 2014. And I see him sneaking up on me here, but his bio is in, his very brief bio is in your program. Let me introduce John Wilson, and let's start our program. Thank you very much.
Good morning. The 15th anniversary of 9/11 finds us once again commemorating the sacrifices of so many and the continuing struggles of so many who are still dealing with that day. The devastating attack on America, September 11th of 2001, was the worst in terms of actual death toll and the injured and those who suffered permanent health issues than the attack on Pearl Harbor. Almost 3,000 people died, as you know. The attacks that took place on 9/11, including those at the World Trade Center, the Pentagon, and that plane crash at Shanksville, Pennsylvania. That was an unknown target. We suspect it was the White House or the U.S. Capitol. The best we can hope for, I guess now, the best we can hope for is lesson learned and never again. Otherwise, the death toll and the names will be little more than a footnote in history. We are here today to make sure that doesn't happen. We're here to honor the victims of 9/11 and the heroes who tried to save them and do our report to remind others that, like Pearl Harbor, the attacks of 9/11 did not have to happen. Remember this. There were warnings, and they were ignored. There were warnings before Pearl Harbor, too. They were ignored. 9/11 was also the most tragic day in the history of firefighting and law enforcement in this country. Among those killed were 71 law enforcement officers and 343 firefighters. You might not ever forget those numbers. New York City firefighters, and then along with 55 members of the U.S. Armed Forces. I wasn't at work yet. The rest of us were actually just starting our day around the country when it happened. We were still putting the summer of 2001 behind us. Frankly, I was still asleep at 8:46 when the first plane hit the North Tower. I had anchored the news the night before. My son Patrick was in the World Trade Center the night before, recording an album. It took all day for us to find out if he was alive or not. When my wife woke me up, Mary Kay, she said, "A plane has hit a building in New York." I remember asking in my sleep, "What kind of plane was it?" She said, "I think it was a small plane." I rolled over and said, "Wake me up if there's another one." You see, I remember another crash, a helicopter crash on top of the Pan Am building in New York. I thought, well, it's a small plane. I'm tired. I'm going back to sleep. But when that second plane hit, our lives changed forever. And wonderful people like you all over America are gathering this morning and at this moment for memorials. In many states and cities, including Gander, Newfoundland, where 6,600 people were grounded on 38 jetliners on transatlantic flights. Gander, Newfoundland. And once again, we honor those who were killed in the World Trade Center, those who paid the supreme sacrifice of trying to help others, including heroic firefighters and law enforcement, all those military personnel at the Pentagon, and those passengers who took a valiant stand against terrorism aboard that flight that crashed in Pennsylvania. I'll go through because I'm a reporter, the numbers mean a lot to us. I'll go through the numbers again. 2,996 people killed. This number is often lost. More than 6,000 people were injured. 265 people on four airplanes. 2,606 at the World Trade Center, 125 at the Pentagon, including 55 military personnel. And again, 71 law enforcement officers, 343 firefighters. We know what we have to do. Never again. Our honor guards are from the Pinellas County Sheriff's Office, Palm Harbor Fire and Rescue, and the Nuneaton High School Junior ROTC. The bagpiper is Sean Pappas from the Pinellas County Sheriff's Office. The American Eagle is named Olivia. She comes from the Lowry Park Zoo. Honor guards, present the colors. Pledge of Allegiance will be led by the Chief of the Palm Harbor Fire Department, Chief Craig McCoupa.
Please turn to the flag and join me in the pledge. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Our national anthem will be performed by Lisa Nicole Crane. She's artistic director of the Tampa Bay Performing Arts Academy.
Oh, say can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hailed at the twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight, o'er the ramparts we watched were so gallantly streaming, and the rugged bursting in air gave proof through the night that our flag was still there. Oh, say does that star-spangled banner
Aviation Unit of the Pinellas County Sheriff's Office. Our invocation will be offered by Chaplain Milton Smith of the Palm Harbor Fire Department. Chaplain.
Let us pray. Lord, we are gathered here today to honor, to remember, to pay tribute to the many men, women, and children who lost their lives on September 11, 2001. On that dreadful day that began like any other ordinary day, but has now become a day that we will never forget. The evil that took place on that day has left a lasting mark in our hearts, in our lives, in our country, in this world, and in our history. So we pray, O Lord, for the survivors today. We pray for the many families who have suffered loss. Please be a continued source of comfort for them. Let this and the many other memorial ceremonies that are going on this day provide healing to those directly affected. As we remember the 2,996 people killed on 9/11, including the 343 firefighters, the 37 Port Authority police, the 23 New York City police officers, the 8 EMS workers, we trust you, God, that you would take care those that they have left behind. We pray for protection of our first responders that serve each day. We pray for the protection of our military personnel who are often in harm's way. As they perform their duties, bring them home safely. Now bless, O Lord, this ceremony and all others going on this day. In your gracious name we pray. Amen.
You may be seated, and thank you. For the first time since we started this 9/11 memorial here 5 years ago, area high school students were asked to take part in a competitive essay writing contest to help us focus on the importance of this day, and they did. They wrote some beautiful essays titled Why We Should Never Forget 9/11. 15 years ago, that's a generation ago. The first place award winner will receive a gift of $500. Another prize of $250 will be awarded to the second place winner. And I am happy to announce that there was a tie for first place that will be awarded to two students. Morgan Berman from Palm Harbor University High School and student Jake Block from Eastlake High School. Give them a round of applause. You're going to meet them in a moment. Our second place winner is Catherine Grafton from Palm Harbor University High School. Give Catherine a round of applause. Congratulations to you, students, and thank you for writing those essays. The awards will be presented now by retired New York City Police Officer Joe Sprouls and Pinellas County School Board Member Ken Beluso.
When referring to the topic of history, it is imperative for society to be well-versed and demonstrate extensive knowledge. History provides people with the essential understanding necessary to comprehend past events and the implications resulting from those decisions. Furthermore, lacking knowledge of past events will inevitably result in history repeating itself. The horrific events that took place in the morning of September 11, 2001 shattered all Americans' perception of the world because it was our first major confrontation with terrorism. What came to follow was a more educated perspective on the objectives and ideologies of radical Middle East. The attacks on the Pentagon, World Trade Center, and Shanksville, Pennsylvania, which resulted in the death of around 3,000 people, caused irreparable damage to the lives of thousands of Americans and set the stage for further terrorism. Although the tragedies of September 11th will forever be ingrained in the minds of all people who witnessed it, there could come a day when future generations forget the terrors that transpired. If each generation doesn't orderly impress upon their successors the significance of the September 11th attacks, the chances of similar attacks reoccurring will be exponentiated. In everyday life, the effects of the 9/11 terrorism can be observed. All throughout the country, countless Americans now find themselves surreptitiously glancing over their shoulders, wondering if they will be another victim in the next act of terrorism. Whether it be at the movie theaters, when boarding a plane, or simply partaking in rudimentary social gatherings, most people perpetually harbor a level of anxiety. However, by acknowledging the attacks and honoring the victims, society as a whole will be more suited to identify formidable threats and prevent them before other catastrophes occur. Though there are other ways to confront the issue of terrorism, by simply remembering and spreading awareness of 9/11, future attacks are less likely to arise. For the present generation especially, being cognizant of the threat of growing terrorism is more critical than ever. Since the events of September 11, radical Islamic terrorists have executed more than 28,822 deadly terrorist attacks. Countries all over the world have fallen victim to heinous terrorist attacks, resulting in the deaths of countless innocent victims. The attack at the Pulse nightclub in Orlando, Florida, killing 50, and the attack at the Bataclan Concert Hall in Paris, France, killing 90 and wounding more than 300, are just two examples of recent attacks perpetrated by terrorists. Another horrific attack occurred recently on August 20th, 2016, when a 14-year-old Syrian boy walked into a wedding in Istanbul, Turkey, and dedicated a vest of explosives, killing 51 and wounding 69 guests. The necessity to thwart terrorism is growing more vital, and the simplest way to do so is becoming as educated as possible. When the four planes were hijacked the day of September 11, 2001, a gash was forever placed in the scripts of history. For those who lived through the event, September 11th will always be remembered. However, since much of the adolescent population was either too young to witness the attacks or weren't born at the time, it is fundamental that they reflect on the memory of September 11th with as much care, if not more, than their predecessors. If adolescents and future generations fail to do so, they will have to face the consequences that countless more acts of terrorism will produce. Thank you.
September 11, 2001 was a day no American will ever forget. On that day, terrorist attacks in New York and Washington, D.C. killed 2,996 people and injured more than 6,000 others. Police officers, firefighters, military members, and civilians perished. As with the attack on Pearl Harbor, we realized that day that our two oceans will not always protect us. We should never forget almost 3,000 victims of mass murder. We should never forget the heroism of first responders, some who doubted they would return alive. We should never forget our obligation to ensure a tragedy like this never happens again. But although that day showed us the worst that people can do, that day brought out the good that exists in Americans. That is the reason I believe we should never forget 9/11. Patriotism came back into style. People were proud to be Americans and proud for what America stands for. Soldiers, police officers, and firefighters replaced athletes and celebrities as true American heroes. Flags appeared everywhere, on pins, t-shirts, and bumper stickers. Stores ran out of flags so quickly that some newspapers printed flags in their pages so readers could cut them out and tape them to windows. After having forgotten for so long, we remembered why we were fortunate to be Americans. Neighbor helped neighbor. We rediscovered a sense of community. In New Jersey, from where I came to Florida 2 years ago, many towns had lost residents in the Twin Towers. These families needed the support of their communities, so neighbors organized to provide emotional support, financial support, college scholarships, and legal assistance to the families affected. Some communities even provided educational and career guidance to the children of those killed that day. The attacks inspired people to come together and repair a broken world. Volunteerism increased in many cities. Organizations were created or expanded to serve the needy. People were willing to make a meaningful commitment of time and resources to that were more than one-time effort or a quick writing of a check. First responder helped first responder. When the attacks happened, police officers and firefighters from other states rushed to New York to augment the overburdened police and fire departments. Besides coping with the loss of many of its members and much of its equipment, these departments needed to serve the other parts of New York City as well as Ground Zero. For days, these out-of-state responders manned firehouses and first aid stations, provided traffic control and police services, and allowed others time and rest to process what had happened. The media regularly reported how police officers and firefighters from other states went to Ground Zero simply to show support for their comrades, offer food and drinks, or to help locate any survivors in the rubble. Soldier helps soldier. After 9/11, military enlistments increased dramatically. There was a renewed need to serve America. People considered it an honor as well as a duty to protect and serve our country. Considering that some of these military members now made a career in their service branch, America will now remain that much more protected in the years to come. Finally, the tragedy led to the creation of the September 11th National Day of Service to encourage people to honor those who died by serving their community in some way each year on September 11th. These volunteers pay tribute to the victims through deeds and not just words. Despite the destruction and tragic loss of life, for a moment we lived up to the full meaning of our country's motto, E Pluribus Unum. Out of many, we again became one nation. Thank you and God bless America.
They were teenagers, and still are. 15 years ago, they were 2 years old when 9/11 happened. Look at the world they've grown up in now. They are our leaders of tomorrow. They and students like them. I had just moved my family here from St. Louis when Mike Bilirakis first ran for Congress and served almost 15 years, and the honor continued, as you know, for the Bilirakis family with the election of his son, Gus Bilirakis, who was elected to follow his dad as a member of the United States Congress. Now representing the 12th Congressional District that includes parts of Pinellas, Pasco, and Hillsborough counties, Congressman Gus Bilirakis has served with distinction. We're proud of him and delighted to have him with us here this morning. Ladies and gentlemen, Congressman Gus Bilirakis.
Good morning. Good morning to everyone, and thank you for providing me the opportunity to be here, to join all of you here today as we remember the lives tragically lost on September 11th, 2001. They were the victims of unfathomable hatred and terror. They were mothers, fathers, brothers, sisters, and children, and we collectively mourn their loss. While the fight against terror and Islamic extremism still rages on, we are reminded of the timeless words of President Harry Truman. America was not built on fear. America was built on courage, an imagination, and an unbeatable determination to do the job at hand. It is in recognition of this truth that we celebrate the fact that our nation has refused to succumb to evil. We will never forget the horrific events of that fateful day, but despite the best efforts of the enemies of freedom, this great nation stood proud, grew much stronger, and rose above hatred and fear. We are resolute in our determination to do the job at hand and to secure a brighter, more peaceful, and prosperous tomorrow for future generations. We also are gathered here today to pay tribute to the heroic first responders who risked their lives for their fellow Americans. They are heroes, ladies and gentlemen. As thousands of people were struggling to find safety, these heroes ran into burning buildings looking for ways to help. Great Americans. Too many of them did not come home that day. Unfortunately, September 11th was not the first or last time these brave Americans have been called upon to put themselves in grave danger. It is said that service to others is the rent one pays for his or her space here on earth, and I believe that. These brave first responders have paid their debt in spades, and their brothers and sisters in service continue to show up each day, each and every day, to ensure that our communities are safe from those wishing to do us harm. They are to be revered for their selflessness, and we keep both them and their families in our prayers, our thoughts and prayers. On this Patriot Day, we mourn the significant loss of life, but we also celebrate our strength as a nation, united by our common values and sacred principles to which we hold dear. America is a strong and resilient nation, and those who lay down their lives to protect us are no different. They are true American heroes, ladies and gentlemen, and we must never forget that. As we pay tribute to those we have lost, whether it's through flags of grave sites, speeches, a gathering of friends and family, or this very event, and Curlew Hills does such a beautiful job on an annual basis. Let us renew our pledge that their sacrifices may not be in vain. Let us not forget the principles of service to others and the importance of embodying that principle on Patriot Day and throughout the year. September 11th also marks the entrance of our country into the war against terror. Many of our brave servicemen and women answered the call in honor of those lost during the terror attacks and have proudly defended our nation. Today, we remember and appreciate their sacrifice and service, and we must remember every day. Our nation's heroes have defined the meaning of patriotism and heroism, and they embody the American spirit that has forged a better and brighter future for our children and grandchildren. Therefore, let us continue to uphold the freedoms and values on which this great nation was built, those they so valiantly fought for and died for. Through the selfless sacrifices, we continue to live in a place known as the land of the free and the home of the brave. Let us observe Patriot Day and every day forward with gratitude and reverence for the past and with hope and optimism for the future. Let us continue to support those who continue to fight for our freedom, protect our communities, and celebrate the lives of those who have truly made America the country we can be so proud of, an America that we call home, the greatest country on the face of the nation. Thank you so very much for being here, and God bless each and every one of you.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you very much, Congressman Bill Arrakis. Also with us today is a member of the Florida State Legislature who, by the way, has a strong New York City connection because he was born there. His dad was a New York City police officer. Now he's representing the 65th District of the State House of Representatives, and we're pleased to welcome State Representative Chris Browse. Chris?
It's an honor to be with you. And as John mentioned, I'm the son of a New York City police officer who's to the right of the stage and in the uniform that he wore before he retired. He just laid the wreath. And I'm proud of him and the honor that he did to that uniform when he wore it and every day since. Like all of you, and like Keenan mentioned at the beginning of this ceremony, I remember where I was on September 11th, 2001. I was sitting in a history class. But not just any history class, I was sitting in the history class that my dad was teaching. And after we got word that the first tower had been hit, they turned on the television that was in the classroom and we all gathered around and began to watch. We thought it was, like many of you, that it was just an accident. Something had just gone terribly wrong. And when the second plane hit, we knew for sure that it had, but that it wasn't an accident. At that time, an administrator from the school, the bell had rung and the administrator came in and tried to usher the kids out of the class onto their next class. And I remember my dad taking her aside and saying, I think that they should stay here. I think that they should watch because they'll always remember. And I remember her saying, you know, today we need to keep things normal. And he calmly responded, things will never be normal again. And he was right. But looking around today, I'm glad to see that the united stance that we took as a nation has not wavered these past 15 years. Your presence today, over a decade later, is proof that terror did not win the day. It is proof that we as Americans will always stand together and stand united in the face of adversity. It is said that a people are defined by how they face adversity. If that is the case, there is no question that our nation is full of heroes. Heroes like the NYPD and the FDNY, who, when confronted with an attack, the likes of which we had never seen before, stepped into the breach. They ran into danger not knowing if the attack and the horror was over. They only knew that their friends, that their neighbors needed their help. There are those who ran into buildings, those who overtook hijackers, and those who provided prayer and healing to the fallen. As the saying goes, not all heroes wear capes. Our enemies were not only wrong in their mission, but wrong forever thinking that the United States of America would weaken when confronted with evil. Our nation did not falter after these attacks. In fact, we grew much stronger. Our country stood together, reinforced by our valor, invigorated by our patriotism, and determined to see justice for fallen Americans. We stood united then, and we stand united still, 15 years later. And every year we will do the same, because terrorists may try to harm us, but they will never break our strength, our will, or our love of country. Our nation will never run out of patriots who will remain steadfast and call and come and respond to the call. Today we pay respect to those who perished that day and the heroes who risked their lives. We shall never forget them. May God bless their memories. May God bless the lives of those who remain. And may God bless the United States of America. Thank you.
I'm going to bring up a real New Yorker now and a real 9/11 survivor. A retired New York City firefighter who was a lieutenant for Engine Company 16. He was on the 24th floor of the World Trade Center when it collapsed, trying to help all the injured. He and many others were trapped by falling steel, concrete, debris, and fire, entombed for hours before he was rescued. Many of his friends did not survive that day. You know, there was one mission that day for the New York City Fire Department, and it was to save lives. But he, like so many others, needed saving. Now a retired firefighter of New York City, Mickey Cross. Mickey, come up here. This man has a mission in life.
Thank you, folks. My name is Mickey Cross, spelled with a K, and I'm the man with the mission.
Just heard.
I was standing aside over there, and I was thinking, what am I going to talk about? I never prep these things. Never. No, I don't bring no cards, no papers, nothing. I just talk what's going on in my head. So I'm standing there, and I'm realizing, I'm hearing the term hero. I must have heard it 30 times this morning, and I've heard it 1,000 times in my life. And I always puzzled what that meant, because sometimes it's applied to me and it makes me uncomfortable. So I remember I was home one day, and I got this big old dictionary. It's about 50 years old. It's a big, thick dictionary. So I looked up heroism, and what does it mean? And it was very broad, what it meant. Somebody's brave, somebody who does something extraordinary. Out of the ordinary things. Sometimes it's applied to ball players. And I thought that was wrong, but I wasn't. I was wrong. A ball player could be a hero, too. So I try to figure out, you know, how do I fit in that? And I was thinking about a quote I read once. It was in a a military book. I think it was Admiral Bull Halsey. It was 1945. I think he was in charge of the Pacific Forces during World War II. A very brave guy. And the quote, I wish I had it on me, but I don't. I was just thinking of it. It's something to the effect of, there are no great men, just ordinary men, that find themselves in extraordinary circumstances and behave accordingly. And that really kind of fits the bill for me. I those are not the exact words. He wrote it more poetically. For a guy who's an admiral, he was also a poet. It was really beautifully written. And I try to fit that into my life and think about, I'm actually pretty ordinary. I grew up in Queens in a modest little house. My father was a sanitation worker. My mother was a factory worker. I had an ordinary upbringing. I was a paper boy. And then one day I got the bright idea to quit school and get a job in the mailroom, which I did. And here I am, dropped out of high school, working in a mailroom, and one day it went off in my head, this is not where I want to be in 20 years. So I went back to school at night, and I got my high school diploma. And I was walking down the street one day in my where I lived, in Flushing, Queens, and I saw this poster, and it said, the Marine Corps Builds Men, Body, Mind, and Spirit, and had a picture of this really handsome young Marine in dress blues. And it was a recruiting office there. And I said, well, just walked up from, I never wanted to be a Marine. I just walked in and enlisted, because I was insecure, and I figured maybe they can help me. And they actually did. I came out of the Marine Corps, I was a little bit of a person. And then I needed a job. So I took, well, I come from a civil service family. Everybody's cops, firefighters, postal workers, sanitation workers, like my father. So I took all the tests, and I got called. First, I got 19, January 68, I got called for the New York City Police Department. And I went on that, and I did that for a few years, and I really wasn't cut out to be a cop. I don't have the purse. I did all right. It wasn't really what I wanted to do. So I ended up, thank God, the fire department called me, and I went to the fire department where, again, I wasn't quite sure if I wanted to be a firefighter. I always craved like doing something exciting, you know, it's interesting. And I never thought of heroism. I just thought of, I guess they call somebody like me an adrenaline junkie. I just like being where the action is. So I did that, and I went to the fire department, and I got to my firehouse in Midtown. I was there for a few months, and I fell in love with the job. I just worked with the best bunch of guys and gals. I was just so proud to work with them. They were just the most wonderful people. So I ended up... For a guy who really, I wasn't a kid that wanted to be a firefighter, I just took all the tests. And I ended up spending 30 years on that job. And I'm grateful for God every day. I've had the most incredible life, I think, you know. And then, but this thing happened on 9/11 to me. And I didn't ask for it. I didn't volunteer for it or anything. It was just an ordinary day. And I just got an order, came up, you know, over the computer, and told the Engine 16 report to the North Tower and Lobby Command Post. So that's what we did. And I didn't know what was going on. Like somebody said, everybody thought it was a small plane that heard this on the radio. I thought it was a small plane until I got down there and saw it, and I saw the gigantic hole, and I was next to the South Tower, and I saw another plane coming, and it smashed into the South Tower, and my company, Engine 16, was right next to the South Tower. Fortunately, I had a great guy driving the engine, and he got us out of there. He wiggled through all the steel and everything, and then he got us to the North Tower, where I was ordered to report, and I did. And I followed orders, and I was told to go up to the 23rd floor, which I did, and I brought the guys. Now, firefighters carry a lot of equipment, really between 60 and 80 pounds of equipment. So by the time we walked to 22, I gave the guys a break. I went on a search. And the next thing, I found two people. I ordered them out. There was two civilians, Josephine and I can't remember the other guy's name. I wish I could. He was a real hero. He stayed with Josephine, his secretary. And but they both survived, thank God. And then the order came over the radio, evacuate the building. The South Tower had fallen down. I didn't know that. I was in the core of the North Tower. South Tower had gone down. The North Tower shook, but I didn't know what that meant. So we started down and got down a few floors, and then the building came down, and I ducked in the corner. And like I tell people, I just ducked in the corner and ducked down and tried to crawl into my helmet because I was scared. But somehow I survived that. And I was there with 13 other people in that little small area that didn't get damaged. The whole area got damaged. 13 acres got destroyed except for this couple little small pockets. And that was explained to me by a forensic anthropologist. Every disaster, there's always a small area that does not get destroyed. And I was just lucky enough to be there. It wasn't by smarts or anything like that. Yeah, sheer luck. And maybe God, whatever you believe in. So what happened, I was buried there for a while, and we saw a light, and we started crawling. We saw sunlight actually came in, and we started crawling towards it. And at that point, the other rescuers that were risking their lives looking for us found us and tossed us ropes, and we got out. And that brings me here 15 years later. Thank you.
The thing to remember about these New York City firefighters everywhere, law enforcement, emergency medical personnel, they were the ones who rushed into the building. Everybody else ran away.
You forgot to say police officers also.
Police officers.
I don't want to forget about that.
I'll put law enforcement together. But Mickey, you're an extraordinary man in an extraordinary circumstance. And while you may not think you are a hero, you're a hero to us. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. So.
You can be seated. Thank you. Now the most solemn and well-known bugle call in the world. And students Ethan Wolf and Flip Sokolowski will now play. It literally means day is done. Would you please stand? Please remain standing. Many American flags are flying at half staff today around the world as we pause to remember what happened on September 11th, 2001. The honor guard from the Pinellas County Sheriff's Office and bagpiper Sean Pappas will play Amazing Grace as we raise our flag here and lower it to half staff.
personnel. Attend! Move! Reset! Move!
Joni and Gary Repetti, Reg Miko, and Hitch, the 9/11 canine, will now place a wreath at our memorial, which symbolizes the nobility of life. Thanks to Joni and Gary Repetti, Gene Gentile, Rich Miko, and Hitch the Canine for placing that wreath. You're going to hear the tolling of the bell now that takes place to remind us of the importance of every single life. The passing of time and the significance of an event that we will never forget. District Chief Scott Sanford will do the honors.
The fire service is rich with ceremony, custom, and tradition. Our custom of rendering final honors has its origins in the Fire Department of New York City. When many years ago, long before the advent of radios or pagers, fire alarms and daily announcements were dispatched from central headquarters to outlying firehouses through a system of bell commands and telegraphs. When a firefighter died in the line of duty, headquarters would transmit four series of five bell strikes, with a slight pause between each series, followed by the announcement. That custom has continued today. We present the rendering of the final honors to our fallen brothers and sisters, is known as in the fire service as striking the four fives or tolling of the bell. With that, we will now have the tolling of the bell to honor those who gave all.
The Dunedin High School Falconeers, led by Annalise Farman.
If tomorrow all the things were gone, I'd worked for all my life, and I had to start again with just my children and my wife. I thank my lucky stars we live in here today, 'cause the flag still stands for freedom and they can't take that away. An American, where at least I know I'm free, and I won't forget the man who died, who gave that right to me, and I'll gladly stand up next to you and defend her still today, 'cause there ain't no doubt I love this land. God bless the USA.
Joy come to you.
Retired New York City police officer Joe Sprowls, retired New York City firefighter Louis Kikas, lit the eternal flame. Before you leave, I want you to go by it and see it. In a moment, the Falconeers will conclude our memorial service and we'll get you out of this heat. They'll sing America the Beautiful. That will, in fact, as we remember the flyover by the United States Coast Guard that came at the perfect time. I'm proud to be an American. Our benediction now will be offered by Rabbi Gary Klein from the Temple Avot Shalom in Palm Harbor.
Hi, Gary.
Yeah, that'll be fine. Thank you. As I've been participating with all of you in this morning's commemoration, I couldn't help but contrast in my mind this event to the events about which I have read in the newspapers immediately after the September 11th tragedy, of celebrations, of dancing in the streets of some countries in celebration of this tragedy that we so sadly commemorate. And I couldn't help but think this morning of similar celebrations about which I have read that have followed other terrorist events over the years, celebrations that in some cases were countenanced and encouraged by the governments and the leaders of the religious communities of those countries. And one thought that comes to mind, one prayer that comes to mind, and this is my first prayer in this benediction, is thank God for the United States of America. May our wonderful country remain strong and decent forever. And we say again, amen. As I was waiting for today's event to begin, I was standing next to a lady whom I see right now, and there were tears coming from her eyes as she looked at one of the display tables. And I said to her, did you lose someone? And she managed through her tears to be able to say my sister. And I have to tell you that at that moment tears came to my eyes too. And I know that had any of you been standing next to her, tears would have come to yours as well. And Elie Wiesel of blessed memory, whose writings form or comprise what I consider to be the conscience of the world today and one of the world's primary sources of compassion, has written that all of us are born, but some of us, because our hearts have been broken, have to begin anew every day. And sometimes we have to begin life anew even more than once every day. And my final prayer is that those who are here and those all over the country whose hearts have been broken in some way because of the September 11th tragedy will continue to find that strength, the strength to begin anew every day and maybe several times every day, and that we, their fellow citizens, who by virtue of being their fellow citizens and by virtue of being human beings, love them so, that we will find ways to help them. And let us say together, amen. Thank you, John.
Stay with us as long as you can. Thank all the participants, the honor guards, our speakers, presenters, law enforcement, emergency medical technicians, especially our 9/11 committee, Keenan Nopke and Mary Devine have put this all together. Take a look at the display tables. The artwork is by students at Ozona and Sutherland Elementary. And you want to be sure to stop by this memorial up close. Enjoy refreshments that are available, and thank you all for coming, and have a wonderful day.
You have been listening to live coverage on RadioSt.Pete.com of the 9/11 remembrance that was held this morning, 9/11/2016, at the Curlew Hills Memory Gardens in Palm Harbor, Florida. The master of ceremonies today was longtime local television anchorman John Wilson, and you heard at the end of the program the Dunedin High School choir performing. Live event coverage from RadioSt.Pete.com came to you today from Palm Harbor, Florida.